every time we think about same-sex marriage makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural.
Obviously an historic day, November 18th, 2003, because finally all families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will have the opportunity to be equal families under the law.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. This week, marriage and morality in Massachusetts, the ruling, the reaction, and the politics.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With an expanded edition of News Wrap for the week ending November 22, 2003. It seems inevitable that the United States' first legal gay and lesbian marriages will be performed in 6 months in Massachusetts, following a ruling by the state's top court this week that will significantly impact the entire nation. A 4-3 majority of Massachusetts' Supreme Judicial Court declared that, barring an individual from the protections, benefits, and obligations of civil marriage solely because that person would marry a person of the same sex violates the Massachusetts Constitution. With a nod to the top court in the Canadian province of Ontario, Massachusetts' highest court has now defined marriage there as the voluntary union between two persons. That goes beyond previous U.S. decisions supporting same-gender marriage by the state Supreme Courts of Hawaii and Vermont. It appears to require full marriage equality in Massachusetts, and the gay and lesbian plaintiffs there won't settle for some alternative recognition of civil unions or domestic partnerships. As the state's highest court ruling on state law, there is no further judicial appeal.
The court did not order that marriage licenses immediately be issued to the plaintiff couples who'd previously been denied them. The Massachusetts justices stayed the impact of their ruling for 6 months to allow the legislature to take action, but it seems that only an amendment to the state constitution can actually stop gays and lesbians from marrying in Massachusetts, and that process would take at least 2 years. So it appears that, at least for a matter of months, the state of Massachusetts will be issuing valid marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples.
These first U.S. same-gender marriages will set the stage for the first courtroom tests of laws now explicitly prohibiting the recognition of such marriages in 37 of the 50 states and of the 1996 federal so-called Defense of Marriage Act, known as DOMA. This lends fuel to the current religious right proposal to further ban gay and lesbian marriages with the so-called Federal Marriage Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, an effort that's expected to be a major feature of the 2004 presidential campaign. Republican U.S. President George W. Bush quickly responded with a statement that marriage is a sacred institution between a man and a woman. Today's decision of the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court violates this important principle. I will work with congressional leaders and others to do what is legally necessary to defend the sanctity of marriage. As the usually staid Wall Street Journal put it, the culture wars just went nuclear.
The case, known as Goodrich versus Department of Health, referring to the state agency administering marriage laws, was brought by 7 gay and lesbian couples who had first sought and been denied marriage licenses in various Massachusetts jurisdictions. They were represented by GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, the group that won the Vermont State Supreme Court decision that led to the creation of the United States' first civil unions. The Massachusetts ruling acknowledged that our decision marks a change in the history of marriage law. That may have been part of the reason the panel took 4 months more than its customary self-imposed time limit to issue its findings.
Chief Justice Margaret Marshall wrote for the majority, "The question before us is whether, consistent with the Massachusetts Constitution, the Commonwealth may deny the protections, benefits, and obligations conferred by civil marriage to two individuals of the same sex who wish to marry. We conclude that it may not." The decision itself described the Massachusetts Constitution as more protective of individual liberty and equality than the federal Constitution, perhaps demanding broader protections for fundamental rights and less tolerant of government intrusion into the protected spheres of private life. The court held that the state constitution forbids the creation of second-class citizens. The majority declared that our obligation is to define the liberty of all, not to mandate our own moral code. The marriage ban works a deep and scarring hardship on a very real segment of the community for no rational reason.
Answering the state's arguments describing hetero-exclusive marriage as a favorable setting for procreation and child-rearing, the court's majority said, "It is the exclusive and permanent commitment of the marriage partners to one another, not the begetting of children, that is the sine qua non of civil marriage." The state also asserted that it was defending the institution of marriage, but the court's majority responded that the plaintiffs seek only to be married, not to undermine the institution of marriage. The decision found that the state has failed to identify any constitutionally adequate reasons for denying civil marriage to same-sex couples.
The three dissenting justices all joined in their three separate opinions on different themes, all focused on legal concerns and worded in a manner respectful of gays and lesbians. Primarily, they all emphasized that, as Justice Francis Spina put it, the power to regulate marriage lies with the legislature, not with the judiciary. But Spina also denied that there is any marriage discrimination, since each plaintiff is free to marry a willing person of the opposite sex.
Justice Robert Cordy's dissent acknowledged that it may be desirable for many reasons to extend to same-sex couples the benefits and burdens of civil marriage, and the plaintiffs have made a powerfully reasoned case for that extension. But he wrote that the state marriage statute historically referred to one man and one woman, and asserted that that passed constitutional muster because the legislature could rationally conclude that it furthers the legitimate state purpose of ensuring, promoting, and supporting an optimal structure for the bearing and raising of children.
Justice Martha Sossaman noted that scientific research has yet to yield clear findings on the outcome of parenting by gay and lesbian couples relative to heterosexual marriage, and wrote, "As a matter of social history, today's opinion may represent a great turning point that many will hail as a tremendous step toward a more just society. As a matter of constitutional jurisprudence, however, the case stands as an aberration."
But for the plaintiffs and their attorneys, the ruling was a victory to savor, and they shared their celebration with reporters. Attorney Mary Bonato of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders.
It's obviously an historic day, November 18th, 2003. And it's an historic day because finally, all families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will have the opportunity to be equal families under the law. We all know that civil marriage is this enormous government construct. It's the most comprehensive protections for families that exists. What comes along with it are hundreds of real bread and butter protections for families and protections in times of tragedy and crisis and emergency. Some court has finally had the courage to say this really is an issue about human equality and human dignity, and it's time that the government treat these people fairly.
Plaintiff couple Gloria Bailey and Linda Davies.
Without a doubt, this is the happiest day in our lives.
I finally asked her to marry me because she told me she couldn't answer until we could legally do it. And I'm happy to tell the world, she said, yes.
Plaintiff Mike Horgan.
Today, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Ed and I are finally full and equal citizens.
Plaintiff Hillary Goodrich told ABC TV's Nightline how her daughter inspired their marriage activism when then 6-year-old Annie was asked to name people who loved each other.
And she listed off a whole group of people, and I realized each one of these groupings were heterosexual married couples. And so I said to Annie, well, what about Ma and Mummy? Don't we love each other? And she said, you don't love each other. I said, what do you mean? And she said, if you loved each other, you'd be married.
Hillary's partner, Julie Goodrich, at that celebratory press conference.
Thank you to the Supreme Judicial Court of the state of Massachusetts for seeing what we know to be true, which is that we are a couple that is worthy of the protections of marriage, and that after 16 and a half years, Hillary and I are finally going to be able to get married and protect our family.
Gays and lesbians elsewhere joined the celebration, most notably in San Francisco, where a rally in the heavily gay Castro district led to a 5-block parade by some 200 people wearing everything from wedding gowns to Boston Red Sox baseball team gear.
But for Massachusetts politicians, the decision poses a heavy burden. The state's Republican governor, Mitt Romney, no supporter of same-gender marriage, declared,
"We obviously have to follow the law as provided by the Supreme Judicial Court. Even if we don't agree with it, We're going to follow it in terms of preparing legislation, and we'll have legislation which conforms with the law. But we will at the same time initiate a constitutional amendment process, and that constitutional amendment process will be consistent with what I think the feelings are of the people of the Commonwealth and, of course, the entire sweep of recorded history.
Massachusetts Representative Phil Travis is a Democrat, but he was already working towards a state constitutional amendment to prohibit same-gender marriage and is now intensifying those efforts. He told reporters,
"I am in no quick hurry to condone the action of the Massachusetts Supreme Court. I think it flies in the face of what we know in Massachusetts as marriage and have demonstrated since our founding."
Democratic Massachusetts House Speaker Tom Finneran also supports an amendment against same-gender marriages and has steadily opposed legal domestic partnerships.
Romney, Democratic Attorney General Thomas Riley, and some leading state lawmakers believe they can create what the governor referred to as a civil union-type provision that will satisfy the state's high court. Most legal experts disagree, and any such move would definitely be challenged in court by the current plaintiffs and GLAAD. From the other side, if a civil union law were enacted quickly, a repeal initiative could be placed before the voters as early as November 2004. Massachusetts lawmakers are already being deluged with communications protesting same-gender marriage in a campaign organized by religious right groups.
Meanwhile, the Romney administration quickly advised all Massachusetts municipalities that no marriage licenses should be issued to gay and lesbian couples during the 180-day stay the court imposed on its own ruling. The only town that seemed to have a problem with that was Cambridge, where some city council members appeared eager to make it the site of the nation's first same-gender marriage. But GLAAD and other gay and lesbian activists have also publicly asked them to withhold licenses for the court's waiting period.
Massachusetts notably pioneered programs supporting lesbian gay youth in its public schools. A number of open gays and lesbians have been elected to office there, most notably Democratic U.S. Congressmember Barney Frank. Frank said in a debate with religious conservative Jerry Falwell on CNN,
"When Vermont did civil unions, there were all kinds of predictions of chaos and marriages dissolving. None of those have proven to be the case. If you're a heterosexual living in Vermont today, civil unions have no effect on you whatsoever. And I think by 2006, people will see that in Massachusetts as well."
But it's also a state with a large Roman Catholic population, and the state's leading Catholic clergy have for months been speaking out themselves against legal recognition of same-gender couples and calling on Catholics to actively oppose it as well.
A Pew poll taken in October found that overall about 60% of Americans oppose equal marriage rights for same-gender couples, compared to about 32% supporting them. One unnamed Democratic strategist was quoted by the Wall Street Journal as saying, "We knew the Supreme Court would do anything to help reelect Bush. We just didn't know it would be the Supreme Court of Massachusetts."
Numerous state-level politicians across the U.S. also reacted to the Massachusetts ruling, many moving to enact laws or constitutional amendments to block any recognition of or moves toward same-gender marriages.
And finally, given the polling against same-gender marriage and the religious right campaign for the federal marriage amendment against it, the gay and lesbian advocacy group Human Rights Campaign this month launched a $1 million print ad campaign to put a face on the issue. One of the five original ads featured Massachusetts plaintiff couple the Goodridges and ran in newspapers there. HRC's ads are earnest and affecting in making their case for the benefits and protections of marriage for gay and lesbian families. But they might take a tip from their counterparts in Canada to use a lighter touch. The first married gay couple there, Kevin Barassa and Joe Varnell of Toronto, have taken the lead in a massive, largely volunteer effort to put together three broadcast ads supporting same-gender marriage. The theme chosen by Toronto ad agency Zig for the campaign is "What's Wrong with Gay Marriage."
Never remembers our anniversary.
My mother-in-law.
I guess our religious differences.
Teeth grinding in the middle of the night.
Leaving dirty clothes on our bedroom floor.
So cheap.
My mother-in-law.
Talks way too loud.
Leaving the cap off the toothpaste.
I never have any covers at night.
My mother-in-law.
Snoring.
Whenever I go to drive the car, the tank's empty.
Always late.
My mother-in-law.
You know what's wrong with gay marriages? The same things that are wrong with straight ones. Support same-sex marriage. A message from PFLAG and EqualMarriage.ca.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 22nd, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
Kia ora. I'm Chris Carter, New Zealand's Minister for Conservation and Local Government. Being the first openly gay government minister in New Zealand is a great privilege. Almost as great as being able to listen to a quality queer radio program like This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
The groundbreaking Massachusetts marriage ruling is not the end of the story, of course. For an in-depth analysis of the decision and the inevitable backlash in response to it, we turn to a panel discussion excerpted from Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning journalist Amy Goodman.
We're joined on the phone now by a number of people. We're going to begin with Gary Chalmers, along with his partner, Rich Linnell, one of the seven same-sex couples petitioners in the Massachusetts case. How do you feel today, Gary?
We're very happy today. This has been a great day. Well, yesterday and today, obviously great days for us. This has been a two-and-a-half-year struggle for us here.
How did you end up joining this case?
Over the past, we have an 11-year-old daughter that we adopted at birth. And in the past few years, we've been trying to do some planning to make sure that if something had ever happened to one of us, Rich or myself, that our daughter would be well taken care of. And as we were doing that, we started to realize that there were a lot of things that we just couldn't really plan for without having the benefits of being married. So we ended up getting in touch with GLAAD and found out that we weren't the only couples struggling with these same issues. And then amongst that became involved in the lawsuit.
We're also joined on the phone by Susan Summer, supervising attorney at Lambda Legal, who is one of the key counsels in the historic Lawrence versus Texas ruling this summer, and is also part of a marriage license suit in New Jersey by seven couples that was just dismissed but will be appealed. And Robert Knight is on the line with us, director of the Culture and Family Institute based in Washington, D.C. Susan Summer, the significance of the Massachusetts case for people around the country.
Well, this is a tremendous milestone for lesbian and gay couples in Massachusetts who've won the simple right to be treated like every other committed couple in the state. And it's a great symbolic moment for the rest of the country as well to see fellow citizens in Massachusetts being given the very basic right to marry and protect their families.
Robert Knight, you're with Culture and Family Institute. What are your plans now?
We're going to encourage the Massachusetts legislators to listen to the court and to take action that's appropriate. And, of course, we believe that would be passing a constitutional amendment protecting marriage as the union of one man and one woman. The court invented this right. There's nothing in the Massachusetts Constitution that says that you have to force gay marriage on all the people of Massachusetts. They made up whole law, and, you know, one interesting page from this is that they quoted the Lawrence case from the U.S. Supreme Court, which had a striking legal precedent tucked inside it, which is that morality in and of itself cannot be a rational basis for public policy, which would be news to people like John Adams, who largely wrote the Massachusetts Constitution. So if morality is no longer a basis for public law, and the court is citing that to use the Massachusetts Constitution to pretty much obliterate the whole Judeo-Christian view of marriage and sexual morality that this country has held for a couple hundred years, it shows the justices are going far outside the law, far outside the intent of the writers of not only the Massachusetts Constitution but the U.S. Constitution, and making it up as they go along. I think this will actually spur a lot of people into action who had been sitting on the sidelines saying, well, these judges are a little bit out of control, but now we've seen they've gone right over the edge. Now they're making up law. We no longer have self-governance, and we've got to take the law back into our own hands and reestablish the moral order.
We're also joined by E.J. Graff, author of What is Marriage For? The Strange Social History of Our Most Intimate Institution. She's visiting scholar at Brandeis Women's Studies Research Center in Waltham, Massachusetts. Your response to Robert Knight?
I find it very amusing to think of same-sex marriage being forced on, I do live here in Massachusetts, being forced on my neighbors Fred and Tilly. I don't know who Fred would marry. I think he's going to stay married to Tilly.
I meant recognition of marriage forced on everybody, like businesses that don't want to subsidize it.
Massachusetts the citizens are 55% in favor of same-sex marriage, and 77% don't think that there should be a constitutional amendment to roll back recognition of same-sex marriage. I think we're going to keep it. Most of Massachusetts citizens believe in equality and fairness. And Massachusetts is actually, and the United States, are actually trailing the rest of the world where same-sex marriage and same-sex partnership recognition are being...
The rest of the world? Please.
Holland? Let me give you the full roundup without an interruption. Netherlands, Belgium, Canada, and now Massachusetts offer full civil marriage rights. I'm not done. All of Scandinavia, South Africa, and Germany offer everything except the word. Australia, New Zealand, Hungary, Israel, Portugal, France, 11 out of 17 provinces in Spain, 2 provinces in Argentina already offer either de facto marriage, that's what it's called, or other partial recognitions, and more of them are discussing it every day. Spain, Sweden, and South Africa, are all supposed to have full marriage recognition within the next couple of years, and Switzerland is about to pass an all-but-marriage law.
Yeah, they're all awash in pornography, too, but that doesn't make it right.
Susan Summer, would you like to respond to that?
Well, what we see in Massachusetts are families like Gary's who want to be part of a traditional institution that is so important to giving stability and support to raising children, to committed relationships. These are families that just want to raise their children, you know, hold their jobs, buy their groceries, just like everyone else. There's nothing radical or frightening about this. And I think what's going to be very important for the country to see is the sky doesn't fall when Massachusetts same-sex couples marry. There's no need to have a federal constitutional amendment to use our federal constitution to scale back on states' rights,
right
of an individual state to decide that what's fair there is to grant marriage to same-sex families.
I want to go for a minute to the Senate Majority Leader, Dr. Bill Frist, who spoke right after the Massachusetts ruling came down yesterday.
Remember that this body, the United States Senate and the Congress, so with 85 votes, did pass the Defense of Marriage Act. And in essence, that said that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. So it is an issue as we watch what's happening with the courts that in some shape or form we'll be addressing here in the United States.
And that was Bill Frist, the Senate Majority Leader. Susan Summer, how does DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, fit into this picture?
Well, DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that was passed in 1996, doesn't affect at all what the Massachusetts highest court has decided, which is that under the state constitution, the constitution requires that marriage rights be extended to same-sex families. What DOMA does is purports to say that the federal government, for purposes of federal benefits, doesn't have to recognize those Massachusetts marriages, and purports to say that other states can have the choice not to recognize them or respect them, although DOMA itself has long been criticized as being overreaching by Congress and potentially unconstitutional as well. But I think that what's important to remember is Massachusetts has made this decision, its highest court. Polls are showing that the public is in line with that decision, and the court is interpreting its own state's constitution for very sound reasons, saying that it's only fair and right to extend marriage to same-sex families within the state.
So, Robert Knight, specifically, what is your strategy right now around the country?
Well, first of all, according unequal or equal status to unequal things is wrong. Aristotle said it, 1,000 years ago, that if you say things are equal that aren't, you're committing a sin because you're destroying the definition of what things are. You know, if you go out and say that it's discrimination that not everybody who has a bachelor's degree is awarded a PhD and they don't feel good, they're not equal, so let's make them all equal by a judicial pen, you're kind of doing that with marriage. Marriage is the union of the two sexes. It provides a unique quality to civilization. It's protected in the law because it's the one indispensable institution. And when you give equal marriage benefits and status to non-marital relationships, you cheapen the real thing, and you put into law something that will be imposed on all the people of Massachusetts. If you're a devout Christian, Jew, or Muslim, and you're running a business, and you believe homosexuality is wrong and unhealthy and immoral, Your government will be saying, sorry, your beliefs are a form of bigotry. We're going to force this on you. And in fact, we feel so strongly we're going to lay legal sanctions against you unless you actually subsidize this sin.
But so that, specifically, but specifically, like what are you going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it?
Yes.
We're going to push on two tracks, one within Massachusetts for the legislators to push back and say, you know, courts do one thing. They interpret the law. They give decisions in specific cases. They cannot tell a legislature what to do. The Vermont legislature should have told the Vermont Supreme Court to take a hike a couple of years ago when they told them to impose civil unions or gay marriage or else. I would think the Massachusetts legislators may get their backs up and say, well, it's all well and good for you to feel this way, but you can't tell us what to do. We do have a separation of powers. So we're going to push for a constitutional amendment in Massachusetts, but also at the federal level. A lot of people on Capitol Hill have been sitting on the sidelines saying, well, until Massachusetts rules, we don't really see a need for protecting marriage on a national scale. Now that Massachusetts has ruled, I think they may be looking at it differently.
And do you think
there may be a real drive for a federal marriage
amendment? Do you think you have the president on your side?
Yeah, we do. He gave a very strong, unequivocal statement yesterday in support of marriage, said the sanctity of marriage was under attack, so it disagreed vehemently with what the Massachusetts Supreme Court had done, and said he will do everything in his legal power to protect marriage.
So, Susan Summer, let me bring Susan Summer into this. So what is going to be the response of Lambda Legal and other grassroots activists around the country on this issue?
Well, I think it's important for the country to think long and hard before tampering with our federal constitution. It would be unprecedented, one, to roll back states' rights by saying an individual state like Massachusetts can't make its own decisions in the traditionally state area of regulating marriage. You know, it's ironic that people who purport to be conservatives on the right side of the political spectrum are now saying, oh, well, we want to federalize marriage and take away states' rights. Also, it would use our federal constitution to take away people's civil rights. That's not historically what our constitution is about. It's the document that preserves our civil rights, not scales them back.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you both very much for being with us. Susan Summer, supervising attorney at Lambda Legal, one of the key counsels in the historic Lawrence versus Texas case. Also, Robert Knight of the Culture and Family Institute in Washington, D.C., Jay Graff, the book, What is Marriage For? The Strange Social History of Our Most Intimate Institution. And we began with one member of the couple, Gary Chalmers and Rich Linnell, that brought the petition in Massachusetts in which the Supreme Court ruled yesterday. Our website is democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Fensberry, Rex Walkner, and Graham Underhill contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle, and very special thanks to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Producers Karen Ranucci and Mike Burke. Transcripts of Democracy Now! Programs are available at democracynow.org. Roy Zimmerman performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KRZA Alamosa, Colorado, 5RRR Woomera, South Australia, WOMR Provincetown, Massachusetts, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. We'd be very thankful if you'd stay tuned.